Maybe. Jim, are you ready?
Ready to go.
Okay. Whenever you are ready, I will open the waiting room.
Okay.
Amen. Good morning, Tab, and welcome to this time of worship. My name is Pastor Katie. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I am pastor at Tabernacle United Church and really glad to be here and to welcome all of us into this time of worship where we are remembering who we are and whose we are and invited to be co-creators with God in creating a new world and creating a more just and beloved community. So welcome to each of you, wherever you are, whether you're here locally in Philadelphia or in other parts of the country or even outside of this country in other parts of the world. We are scattered physically, but we are gathered together here in this space spiritually and all one in the body of Christ. So welcome to each of us this morning. I want to especially welcome our visitors. If you are here for the first time, welcome, and we're glad you're here. We're glad you've chosen this space to be in this morning. We hope it's a meaningful time for you. If you would like to introduce yourself, we'd love to hear your name and that you're here. You can do that through the chat box, or you can also fill out our virtual visitor card, which we will put in the chat right now. So you can click on that and go to that link if you can. It's also there in the on your screen, so you can look at that and fill it out at a later time too, if you'd like. So welcome, and especially to our visitors. I want to give a couple announcements this morning, just to let us know what's going on, particularly today as well as this week. First of all, I want to give thanks for Sana Del Corazon, who will be preaching for us this morning. I'm so thankful and glad to have Sana back in the virtual pulpit, and will be sharing with us and bringing the gospel to life for us this morning. So thank you, Sana. We're always excited and glad to hear you bring the word. So Sana will be preaching for us this morning. And then later on after the service, we invite you to stay for to share a little bit in during our coffee hour. We will have two options for breakout rooms after the service. You can go to just a general coffee hour chat room, or you can go for a sermon discussion where we'll talk a little bit more in depth. It's a space to ask questions or to just share more in-depth reflections about the sermon. So that will be today, immediately following worship. We will also, at 11:45, transition to our adult education class, TAB-EDU. And in that class today, we are doing a practicing our pronouns class. So this is a time where we will be talking about the importance of pronouns, the importance of breaking down or breaking up the habit of assuming someone's gender identity. And so we're going to be talking about that, why it's important and what's important, particularly for in the work of building community and building up the kingdom of God. So this is going to be a good time to be talking, meaningfully engaging those questions, but we will also be doing a lot of practicing. So it's a good time to practice, especially we remember that when we're learning a new language, the way that you learn a new language, if it's new to you, is you practice. And so we will be doing exercises to help us practice our language there. So hope you can join us for that. Everyone is welcome. It's at 11:45. We will start in the main room of this meeting. So you can just, if you'd like to stay for TAB-EDU, you can leave if you want and just log back on at 11:45 using the same link, or you can just stay in the meeting. And if you need to leave or take a break, you can just turn off your camera and come back. We will start promptly at 11:45. Also, just again, reminder this week for some of our usual gathering opportunities. Tuesday and Thursday, we will be meeting in the morning at 8:30 a.m. for a time of prayer. You are welcome to join us for that. The links for that come out through our listserv. So if you are not on our listserv or need to get information, just let us know and we'll make sure you get those links. Also, this week is our last Lenten Bible study for the season. So Wednesday at 5:30, we will meet for Bible study on the Lenten theme of healing in the Gospel of Mark. So join us for that. Even if you haven't come before, you're welcome to come for this last study of the season. And then, of course, next Sunday is Palm Sunday, which is the beginning of Holy Week. And we will be sharing information very shortly this week about the gatherings and opportunities for worship during Holy Week and being together. So stay tuned for that as we prepare for that important week together. So those are the announcements today. And I'd like to invite us now to open up our hearts, to center ourselves, and let us come into this time of worship. Let's call ourselves to worship.
My name is Geneva, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. And I invite you to join in the call to worship. With friends and strangers, with family and neighbors, we gather.
Come among us, healing God, with that love which never ends.
With faith reaching out to touch, with hearts straining to trust, we hope.
Come among us, friend of the broken, with your compassion which makes us whole.
With word and wonder, with silence and song, we wait.
Come among us, dryer of our tears, to lift us to our feet to follow you.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, I invite you to sing and worship together, starting with I Love the Lord Who Heard My Cry by Richard Smallwood. When I sing this song, I think my breath slows a little bit, and I get a little more in touch with the calmness and stillness that this song brings in me. So I invite you just to slow your breathing as you sing and center yourself this morning as we sing together.
And pitied and
Lord's throne. I love the Lord who heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long God's throne, I'll hasten to God's throne, I'll hasten to God's throne, I'll hasten The next song this morning was a song that Lynn Lampman suggested to me by Jason Gray, which I think reminds us about who we are and whose we are as children of God. And that is a message that I always need to hear. So if you don't know this song, I think we'll learn it quickly together. Remind me who I am. When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror all I see is who I don't want to be, remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is, tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Oh, tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you. My heart is like a stone, and I'm running far from home. Remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough. Remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, would you help me believe it? Tell I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you. I'm the one you love. I'm the one you love. Let that be. I'm the one you love. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am that I belong to you. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Oh, tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you, to you.
Let us pray. God calls us in our lives to take a risk, to be like the woman in the gospel who reaches out to Jesus for healing for herself, or the father who risks the scorn of others to bring Jesus to his dying daughter. Let us ponder for a moment the places in our lives where we may resist turning to God for healing and change. When we resist your call to open our hearts to allow the freshness of your grace to enter,
God, have mercy.
When we close our eyes to your new and unexpected possibilities of healing and reconciliation,
Christ, have mercy.
When we let fear overwhelm us and cling to the security of what we know instead of risking new steps toward your freedom and justice,
God, have mercy.
Hear these words of assurance. God's mercies are fresh every morning. In Christ, God offers forgiving grace and welcome into a community of trust, abundance, and hope. Let us give thanks for the mercy of God and pass the peace of Christ in community among us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Jesus, we lift your name. Jesus, we lift your name on high. Your name on high, be lifted high. Jesus, we lift your name on high. Your name on high, be lifted 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 high in all the earth, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high in all the earth. Cristo tu nombre alabaré, alabaré, te alabaré. Cristo tu nombre alabaré, alabaré, te alabaré, 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 tu nombre alabaré, 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 tu nombre alabaré. Jesus, we lift your name on high. Your name on high, be lifted high.
Jesus comes to bring us peace, peace that passes all understanding. And so we receive that peace of Christ and we pass it and share it with others. So let us take a moment now to greet one another with the passing of the peace. You can go to gallery view and you should be able to unmute yourself. So let's take some time to greet one another. with the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with all of you.
And also with you.
Also with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
Also with you.
Also with you.
Peace, everyone.
Peace, everybody.
Peace, everyone.
Peace, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I see you, Geneva.
Hi, Mike Ealing. Hi. Hi.
You, Ray and Elizabeth. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Michael.
Hi.
Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
Robin Kiki, good,
good
to
morning,
see you.
Geneva.
Good morning,
Angela.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Todd.
Peace,
good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace, Lee.
Peace.
Fletcher. Hello, Fletcher.
Morning, Donald. Hi. Hey, Rob. Hey, Kiki. I haven't seen you in a while. Much love to you.
Much love to you too.
Hi, Auntie Laura.
Good morning. Peace, Gina.
Peace. Welcome, Ray. Peace. Good to see you. Peace. To have you with us.
Good morning, Dee.
Morning.
How are you?
Jennifer, Rose,
Jean and Amy. Hi, Jean and Amy. Hi.
Good morning, Alicia. Good morning, Heather. Peace to you.
Good morning, Amber and Alicia.
Good morning. Peace, Carolyn and Ron.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, Priscilla.
Good morning, James. Peace to you.
And peace to Sana, secondary login.
Hi, Priscilla.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Todd.
Peace, Katie. Casa Katie. Yes.
Good to see you.
Hi. Peace, Elizabeth and Ray.
Peace.
Peace.
Oh, this person either.
Peace, Chris Anderson.
Susan Wargo, nice to see you today.
Oh, and you. Peace, Robin Kiki.
Hi,
peace. Sheraton, good to have you with us.
Pax, thank you for your beautiful music this morning, especially.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
we love
I'm
it.
Grateful to thank Lynn for so the suggestion. That song is such a nice one.
Yeah, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks to Lynn for thank that song.
Did I say Lynn?
This is the time in our service when we invite the children and the young at heart forward for children's time. And if you're one of the folks who wants to be a part of that smaller circle, you can go down to the reactions in your Zoom menu. And under that reactions button, you'll see a button that says raise hand if you'd like to be a part of that smaller group for children's time. So let's sing together to welcome the children and young at heart forward. Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
Hello everybody, all the children and young of heart, would you make sure you get up nice and close? Because I have a secret to tell you. Ooh. Oh, thank you. That's really good. Okay, today, the theme for today's service is about risk, taking a risk. And a risk is when you do something you've never done before. And it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary because you don't know what's going to happen when you do something you've never done before. Things that you've done before, you usually know what's going to happen. You fall down the steps, you hurt your knee. Gonna happen. But when you're going to do something that you don't know about, it becomes scary. So the Bible story is also about that. And the service today is all about taking a risk. So it's about a woman in the Bible today who took a risk. You see, Jesus was walking with a crowd to someone's house. And he was asked to come and heal the daughter of the man who owned the house because she was sick. And when he was walking along, a woman, and we don't know her name, who was in the crowd was also sick. And she really, really, really wanted Jesus to heal her. But she was afraid to talk to him because he was a prophet. So she grabbed his coat. And Jesus turned around and said, "Who grabbed my coat?" And she got scared. And his friend said, "Jesus, you're surrounded by all these people. It could have been anybody. How do we know who grabbed your coat?" But Jesus said again, "Who grabbed my coat?" And the woman was very scared. But she came forward and said, "It was I, Jesus. You know, I thought I was afraid to talk to you, but if I just touched your coat, I would be healed because you are a prophet. You're a man of God." And Jesus said, "You have great faith, woman. Be healed." And she was healed. And he said, "Go on your way and have peace." So the woman in the Bible story took a risk, and it turned out to be really good for her. And there's a lesson for us in that. We all have to take risks in our lives. It's how we learn new things. And if we didn't take a risk, we would never learn anything new. And I promise you, I double promise you, I triple promise you, that if you do something new that you're scared of doing, good things will happen to you. If you take a risk, good things will happen to you. And I will share with you a story about how this happens, how good things happen to you when you try something new that you haven't tried before. I'm going to tell you a story about my granddaughter, Porter. Porter's 7 years old. And a short while ago, and actually it was during the big snow we had here in Philadelphia, we were reading her a bedtime story over Zoom. And a short while ago, just after that big snowstorm. And Porter told us when we were on the Zoom that her father was going to take her skiing the next day for the first time. And she told us she was very nervous about it. So we told her we understood that she was nervous, but we were sure she would love skiing. Because we knew children love skiing. And we told her, "Why don't you just put your worry aside till you try it? Put your worry aside till you try it." And you know what happened? She loved the skiing, even though she was scared. In fact, she went back the next day and didn't want to come home when it was time to come home the next day. She had such a good time. And she found out that when she did something she didn't know about before or was scared to do it, something great came out of it. And now she knows that she loves skiing. And now I'll let you in on a little secret. I'm going to get close because I'm going to say it quiet. Guess what? You know, grown-ups get a little scared too when they have to do something new, when they have to try something new. We all get scared. We grown-ups get scared, and you should know that. If we have to do something new, but what we have learned is if we're scared and we do it anyway, most of the time, really good things happen. And I can promise you, I can double promise you, I can triple promise you, if you do something new and you put your scared away a little bit or talk to your parent or parents about your scare, that helps too, then good things will happen to you. So let us pray. Dear God, please be with us when we are scared and help us to try new things. Help us to take risks because we know you are with us, and you love us because we are your children. Amen.
This morning, I thought of the song Camina Conmigo, which is a song that I wrote out of an experience of solidarity and spiritual accompaniment of marginalized communities working together to support one another in the midst of adversity and oppression. And I thought of this song this week as many people are thinking about how to walk with our Asian siblings this week. So I'm thinking about walking with one another, supporting each other, and working against the oppression in our world. So I invite you to sing this song and learn this song through that lens. Walk with me past borders and walls, beyond our limited view. Walk with me. Walk with me through stumbles and falls, through fear and work yet to do. Walk with me. Camina conmigo, will you walk with me? Toma mi mano, hold my hand, my friend. Quédate conmigo, stay with me until el fin del viaje. Walk with me till journey's end. Walk with me till journey's end. Walk with me to justice for all, toward goodwill overdue. Walk with me. Walk with me. In safety and peace, in God who makes all things new. Walk with me, camina conmigo, will you walk with me? Toma mi mano, hold my hand, my friend. Quédate conmigo, stay with me. Until el fin del viaje, walk with me till journey's end. Walk with me till journey's end. Walk with me. Walk with me. Just sing that. Walk with me, 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 walk with me.
Thank you, Pax. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better. but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately, aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Geneva. Good morning, church. I'm going to be, so I have two screens so I can look at you and not myself. So when you see me looking this way, it's because I'm looking at everyone on my screen. Before I begin, I just wanted to mention that we do have Friday happy hour. And this week we're going to be doing a trivia. So for those that like trivia, like Michelle, please join us. We're going to be doing some trivia at Friday night happy hour. I also wanted to just give thanks to Pastor Katie for sharing the pulpit again with me. It's been almost a year. My first time preaching here was in May, right after, you know, the lockdown. And it's been a year now that we've been having service virtually. So, and if we weren't in a pandemic, we wouldn't be attending church because Gina, Tonio, and I live in Iowa. So we're not grateful for the pandemic, but we're grateful to be able to worship with you virtually. And also just, I'm in seminary and I really am grateful that I get to practice my future vocation and my craft with you, and that you the church is so kind to witness my development as a preacher and hopefully as a pastor someday. So let me begin with prayer. Dear God, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me today, on us today. Open our ears and our hearts to hear your word. May the Spirit of God speak through me and in spite of me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Amen and ashe. Thank you. Happy spring. This season of new beginning is upon us. And in my house, that's the season of birthdays. Tina's birthday was yesterday. Tonio's is on Saturday. And my mother-in-law was earlier this month. We have lots of March and April babies. And I found out this week at, during Tab's prayer meeting that we also, the church has a lot of birthdays. So we have a lot of spring babies. As we head to Resurrection Sunday, I am reminded that this is the season of rebirth. It's what we're all about. As Christians, it's the foundation of our religion. And although I will leave the topic of personal versus communal salvation for another day, we, the church, believe that in Jesus Christ, we are born again. Through Christ's resurrection, we live fully in the spiritual path of our faith. Being born again is the work of the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther spoke of daily dying and rising in Christ. Through the daily practice of prayer and meditation, we can create an openness to God. We rise out of our self-preoccupation and the burdens of our days and can experience God's peace, like a daily practice of rising from the tomb. And although we can't make rebirths happen, we can be intentional in seeking and pursuing our relationship with God. Through God's invitation to wholeness and restoration, we are constantly reborn. So what does that have to do with my sermon today? Good question. As some of you might have noticed, I changed my name. Who is this Sana we speak of? Well, that's me. On March 4th, I made it Facebook official that I will go by Sana now. In Spanish, Sana means whole or healthy. As a verb, it means to heal. In Arabic, Sana means brilliance or radiance. So one late night after a very heavy and painful exchange with my mother, where I asked her to respect my boundaries of not wanting regular, ongoing, casual contact with her or my father, the name Sana came to me. By the way, I preached a 5-minute, really 7-minute sermon on parental estrangement that you can find on my Facebook or I can send out, which explains that whole situation. Anyway, so I should go back up a little bit and confess that I tried to change my name before when I was 30. I'm named after my mother, but it never stuck. I should also say that the idea of changing my name crossed my mind a couple of months ago during my Hebrew Bible Old Testament class. Yes, I'm in seminary. And we were reading the story of Abraham and Sarah, whose names also were changed. I was reminded that God has changed several people's names to establish a new identity. God seems to rename people by the role they will serve. So this exchange with my mother, who I'm named after, and my desire for estrangement from them, and my call to ministry provoked my name change. So I shared it with 400 of my closest friends. And you know what happened? People started calling me Sana. Within a week, I received 2 cards in the mail from church friends addressed to Sana. And every time I would hear my new name, I felt the wind getting knocked out of me. I thought to myself, people actually take me seriously? I felt overwhelmed with gratitude and joy. I felt like a kid trying on something new and the adults around me supporting what I wanted and needed. I didn't have this as a kid or as an adult in my family. My spiritual director explained to me that what I was experiencing was called validation. That my needs and desires were being respected and upheld as foundational to my sense of self-worth. That I didn't need to be explained or proved or defended. My needs and desires stand on their own merit because I stated that. Imagine that. This name change has been well received by my community here and my kin, unlike 13 years ago. More importantly, I believe this name is reflective of the role God is calling me into. What I didn't realize 2 weeks ago is that I was taking a risk. a risk of being rejected and ridiculed, shamed, or disregarded by my community, by my kin, by my people. What if people laughed when I told them that I wanted to change my name? What if they said, oh, here comes another Gemini idea? However, another woman took a greater risk some 2,000 years ago when she touched Jesus's cloak, as we heard in today's scripture. This passage begins with Jesus crossing by boat to the other side of the lake and a large crowd gathering around him. By this point, we know Jesus has a reputation. People have witnessed his miracles and seek his healing powers. Mark, whose gospel is thought to be the oldest of the New Testament gospels, wants the reader to see Jesus in action as he encounters those in need of divine deliverance. I should say that I appreciate that Pastor Katie chose today's passage for the Lenten series during Women's History Month, as the story centers the healing of two women who Jesus heals. One is the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, a synagogue leader, who falls on Jesus' feet in desperation and pleads with Jesus to heal his dying daughter. The other woman, also desperate, has suffered from incurable bleeding disease for 12 years. She is alone. She is isolated. In today's story, the hemorrhaging woman is what we call the meat of the Markian sandwich. The author of Mark liked to tell one story, interrupted with the second story, then concluded with the first story. According to biblical scholars, these stories are meant to be read together and they inform each other. These two women could not be any more different in terms of class and socioeconomic status. And this influences how they approach Jesus, frankly. The young woman, her father makes a formal request. For the lone woman, she pushes her way through the crowd and doesn't ask permission. So as I did some research on this Bible passage, I found two main interpretations. One, although these women are markedly different, these stories are linked and depend on each other. The woman who has been suffering for 12 years, the entire length of Jairus's 12-year-old daughter's life, both in different ways express incredible faith. Both fall at the feet of Jesus. Both are in need of something supernatural to change the course of their lives. Both experience God's salvation, God's healing through Jesus. The woman and the little girl are both unclean according to the law because of bleeding and because of death. Jesus doesn't follow the religious rules. He breaks the law to help them. Their healing, their salvation is not a competition. It's not at odds. Their lives are deeply linked, as are ours. The second exegesis is this. The healing ministry of Jesus centered the marginalized. Although this story begins with Jairus's daughter, as the story unfolds, the woman who lives in the margins becomes the center. Theologians assume whoever wrote Mark intended this, that the bleeding woman was to be the main story, the meat of the sandwich, or peanut butter and jelly for the vegetarians. The differences of the narratives are apparent. The middle story is highly developed and articulates details that the first does not. For this, again, it's assumed that the hemorrhaging woman is more critical to Mark despite her anonymity and marginal location in society. So amid the rush to Jairus's house, Jesus takes the time to stop and converse with this unnamed woman. Jesus's behavior implies that this unnamed woman is no less important than the daughter of a person in power. She and her story are reminders to us that the socially marginalized have a central place in God's kingdom. As Jesus said in Matthew 20:16, so the last will be first and the first will be last. The woman who had been on the margins has to come into the center and community in order to receive the touch of God and be clean. Jairus's daughter, on the other hand, who is privileged and already in the center of society, had to move outside the community. She had to die to be healed. Jesus met her in the darkness of isolation with a small group of people to be brought back to life. Jesus has come to turn the world upside down. The kingdom of God calls the marginalized to be brought into the community and calls the elite and privileged to experience the death of that status. So upon further reflection, and because I named the sermon Taking a Risk before I became conscious of what the Holy Spirit would move to speak about, something more was calling to me about this bold woman. Maybe it's because she had been quarantined for 12 years. And now most of us have been quarantined only 12 months. Can you imagine that? Given how we have struggled one single year in social isolation, and this woman was socially isolated for 12 years. Maybe she calls to me because she took matters into her own hands. She had the audacity to claim her healing, even though according to the law in the books, she was unclean because of her bleeding. She risked everything to push her way into the crowd. She was not deterred from getting the blessing she sought from Jesus. She was willing to perform this rebellious act, hopefully unnoticed, so she could once again be without stigma in the public space from which she had been excluded. In spite of the taboo and laws forbidding her from being among others, she pressed her way forward to touch the hem of Jesus's garment. She was convinced if only she could touch it, she could be made whole. This boldness, this gutsy faith reminds me of the Canaanite woman at the well who begs and eventually gets Jesus to heal her daughter. It reminds me of many marginalized groups in America, particularly Black women who have to take it upon themselves to save themselves when in turn save others, frankly saves us all through underground railroads, voter expansion, Black Lives Matter, the Me Too movement, and all sorts of radical and revolutionary work for the sake of liberation. And it reminds me of the Asian community, especially Asian women who amid their own grieving and fear this week after the violence of a white terrorist had to again and again push the national narrative to understand this action as one of racism and of hate. They had to take time to tending their own healing to say that racism wrapped in a long history of fetishization is still racism when a white terrorist murders six Asian women and others around them. All these women of color know and claim their worth. They're doing so to survive the system that continues to kill us. They are pushing their way into the crowd to make their way to healing because they know they are worthy despite the threats of a death-dealing empire. What is also compelling to me is that Jesus allows his service to Jairus to be interrupted. Mark 5 says, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt it in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" I wondered, was Jesus fully aware of what happened? Was he asking for information? Or was it an invitation? An invitation for someone to testify, to bear witness to her own healing, to her own determination to obtain that healing. The truth is, the woman could have walked away. She didn't have to return. She could have escaped with the healing intact. Verse 32 tells us that Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it, indicating that some time had passed. But finally, with fear and trembling, the woman comes before this strange man and falls to his feet, as Jairus had done a short time before. She tells Jesus in front of everybody why she had touched him, how she had been healed. The Gospel of Mark states she told him the whole truth. This is in contrast to what Jesus did with Jairus' daughter when he resurrected her from the dead. After he healed her, he instructed the family to tell no one. So in asking who touched my clothes, Jesus invites this woman to testify and she complies. She shares her whole truth. I imagine that she shared her struggles, her pain, her suffering, her feelings of shame and despair, all her attempts to find a cure. She told him, seeing him and coming to him and touching him and trusting in his power to help her. She told them everything. She told it all. We know this because the story appears in the Gospels. She probably said more than we can imagine. Who knows the depths she went into? Because all we have is the whole truth. What we do know is that this was a public confession. Why does Jesus ask her to identify herself? Why does he invite this woman to testify when she already has taken a great risk, breaking the law, cutting in line to get her blessing, and hoping she doesn't get exposed? I think it's because Jesus isn't only interested in stopping her bleeding. He wants to bring her back into covenantal community. As Pastor Katie has preached in our Lenten series, Jesus' healing ministry is not an individualized event. Healing has to do with mending of all creation, the restoration of people in their community. He is inviting her and frankly, everyone witnessing her story to live whole lives again. Healing in the gospel is never separated for liberation. It is never just about the individual. Healing involves the larger transformation of the community. Healing is about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is about building the beloved community. Surprisingly, Jesus' response to her is loving and tender. He does not revile her for her audacity. He lovingly says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed of your suffering." He calls her daughter. This is one time recorded in the gospel that Jesus has ever addressed a woman as a daughter. It's a term of loving kindness and affection meant to ease her fears. But perhaps he uses the term because she had the courage to take her healing into her own hands, to break the oppressive social and religious law, to refuse a place in the margins, to challenge her dehumanization. When Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed of your suffering," it is an invitation for full restoration that involves her being incorporated into the beloved community. Jesus sees her. He affirms her. He claims her as family, as all others present should. Calling her daughter is intentional. It is a public affirmation of her belovedness and belonging. More importantly, he is inviting her and us into the kingdom of God, where the last shall be first, where the diseased and broken bodies become part of one body of Christ, taken, broken, and shared with a suffering world. And this is what this beloved community has done for me when you call me Sana by my chosen name. You hear my truth. You hear what I feel God is naming me, and you honor that calling. You all take part in my healing. In this story, Jesus continues to model the pathway to true discipleship. We must take the time to speak our whole truth about our stories of healing. We must take the time to listen to the stories of healing, particularly from people at the margins, because this is part of how we heal. This is how we do discipleship, and this is how we build the kingdom of God. Amen and ashe.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the world. It is time now. And what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love.
So Sana has just told us that healing is about the restoration of our whole world, ourselves, our bodies, our talents, our homes and families, and the whole world. And so this is why during Lent, the Environmental Action Team has encouraged all of us to do very specific things that take care of the environment, to save the environment. And this next week, we are to focus on energy, on electricity and lighting, how we can make changes. And I want to tell you that as a member of council, a few months ago, the council voted that we would subscribe to the energy co-op for our heat, our gas and electricity at the church building. And so now all of the energy that we use at Tabernacle Church is actually fossil-free green energy. So that's good news. So what can each of us do in our personal lives to help save the environment? I know at home I have changed a lot of light bulbs to more energy efficient bulbs. So during this time of offering, when we again say that we are no longer living in isolation, even though our lockdown is still in place, we are joined together in a community of believers. And as we give of our offering, let us remember that healing is about the restoration of the whole world, and our offering helps to enable that. So to give electronically, you can text any amount to 84321 or visit our Tab United webpage. Please let us know how you're designating that gift. We would appreciate that so much. So let our offering be received. Mm-hmm.
bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God has done. God has done great things. God has done great things. God has done great things. Bless God's holy name. God has done. God has done great.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we bring our offerings, let us also offer ourselves, our whole lives, what we do, what we say, how we care for others, and how we care for the earth. Bless all of it. Help us to be more faithful as your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, now is the time where we open up our space for sharing our prayers, what's on our hearts, our joys, our struggles, or any other prayer concerns we have. And so this is a time for you to perhaps reflect even deeper on the sermon, the powerful word this morning, to think about the ways that you need healing. And it's okay. Sometimes I feel like I need to say this out loud. It's okay to pray for yourself, to ask for prayers for yourself. That is what we are invited to do. We all need healing. We are all in need in some area in our life and always. So let's not be afraid to share if you have a prayer for yourself. If you don't feel comfortable sharing it out loud or in the chat, that's also okay. We use the time and open up the space and know that God hears all of our prayers. So if you have a prayer for yourself or someone else or any other situation, this is a time that we share and lift up all that's on our hearts. So let us take that time now. We'll have just a few brief moments of quiet, and we'll allow those prayers to come in through the chat. So if you're new or visiting with us, feel free to write in the chat what's on your heart. And in just a moment, Geneva will be reading those prayers as they come in. So let us take now time to hear from each other, to bear one another's burdens, to share in one another's struggles, and also in one another's joys as we share our prayers together. Thank you.
from Todd Kosher. I ask for prayers for my close friend, Michael, who has some old lymph node symptoms doctors can't diagnose, but possible cancer has been mentioned, along with other things. I ask for prayers for clarity and peace during his time of waiting and frustration. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Lucinda, please pray for my students' families who are facing financial hardships. It is so stressful for my students. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Sana, prayers of joy. Gina was offered a new job that they will begin in April. Congratulations, Gina. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Donald Wargo, I want to give God thanks for Sana, who has the amazing gift of preaching and is such a loving person. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Susan Wargo, prayers for the Thompson family as they find their way forward while waiting for green cards and work permits. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Kristen, give thanks, my husband has been working. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Gina, our beloved friend and kin, Carla, died a year ago yesterday, and we ache so much at her loss. Prayers for peace for her, for healing and solace for all those who miss her. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Kristen, prayers for my friend whose daughter needs a double lung transplant. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Chia, my daughter, asks for prayers for healing because she is in constant back pain, seeing a specialist on Friday. That's from Gwyneth. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Elizabeth prays for continued prayers for Rebecca, who was discharged from the hospital last week, but will continue to need significant medical care as a result of her COVID infection in September and is struggling with paying her medical bills. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Sana, prayers for our Asian siblings. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Verona, Lord, I pray for myself and others of our community who are estranged from parents. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gwyneth, prayers for my sanity and calm as I face potential firing on Friday. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Shell, prayers for my Chinese Jamaican family living in Florida. It's already been a hard year living in a state with a governor who hasn't taken the pandemic seriously. And now they're struggling with the murders in Atlanta that feel very close to home for them. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Robin Kiki, prayers for Kiki's brother who is incarcerated and battling depression. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Prayers from Pauline Abernathy. Prayers for my parents who are struggling. My mother with deep depression and my father with memory loss and multiple physical challenges as they decide to move out of their home they have lived in for 57 years and are figuring out where to move. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
We give thanks for all who have shared in this way and through the chat. Thank you for sharing what's on your heart. And we lift up these prayers together as well as the ones that are unspoken. And so let's sing together as we lift up all that has been shared.
Listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Children praying, send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Oh God, we give you thanks for the gift of life this morning, for the opportunity to be in a space here that is filled with your spirit, your presence. We feel your presence through one another, through the sounds of creation outside our windows. And God, we feel the power and depth of your healing spirit. We thank you for Sana's words this morning. May they take root and in our hearts and transform us. God, we are so aware through the prayers that have been shared and the ones that remain on our hearts. We're so aware of our need for healing in this world. And we are longing to find our place in that work. You have created us not only to be in need, but you have also created us and empowered us to be healers for one another and participants in your healing work. And just like the woman in the story shows us that agency and power that you give to us, and that we are called into. And so God, we ask for that boldness, for that risky and audacious faith. We ask for that blessing of being like her and of seeing ourselves as healers in this world. God, we ask for that you would touch each of us in the places that where we need healing this morning. We ask that you would be near to us and help us where we need clarity to find just our next steps. We ask God for and lift up all the prayers that have been already lifted up here through words for people and situations that are on our hearts. We ask God especially for your deep comfort and peace upon our Asian siblings everywhere, especially in Atlanta, but everywhere, who are experiencing just that depth of horror. And God, we ask that together we would connect, walk with each other, and be in solidarity with each other to find a way forward with deeper justice and mercy. We pray for your kingdom to come. So God, be with us this week as we move forward and take steps forward. be with us and guide us along the way. We thank you for Jesus, our healer, our liberator, our friend. And we thank you that he taught us to pray. And so let us pray together this prayer that he taught us. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go forward this week. I want to just really invite you to go listen to Asana's sermon again. Let's hear it again. Hear that good word. There's so much depth and power in Asana's sermon this morning. And I just want to invite us to take those words in and to remember that we are all, each of us, invited into Christ's healing ministry. And part of what that looks like is listening to the truth of others and creating community where other people can share their truth, share their names, and where there is dignity and respect and love. And that is such a good word for us to remember, that part of healing ministry is listening and learning the truth of other people's stories. So let us go out this week and remember that. Let us remember that we are co-creators, and on the mission and on the ministry, in the ministry with Jesus of healing. So let's go forward knowing that and with that peace that Christ offers each of us. Go forward in peace to serve God and creation and one another. Amen.